Thank you for tuning in today, and you're listening to the Provisions for the Redeemed broadcast. Hi, I'm Pastor Vanessa Walker of Provisions for the Redeemed Christian Center, which is also known as Vanessa Walker Ministries.
And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for therein shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you for the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for the Lamb of God.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, in our final days, you have given us a wonderful, beautiful dwelling place. We thank you for the temple of God. We are so grateful for to be able to participate in that which you have created and made for us.
Yes.
We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen. Y'all, when I read this, it was like, whew, I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again, this is what I want you, I'm going to go back and read this again, just start over again,
okay.
And it says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
Mm.
Y'all getting me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple.
Mm.
And I said, oh my God, I know I've read that before.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but it just seemed to leap off the pages.
Yes.
That the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Amen.
Amen.
And then, of course, you know, you go back through the scriptures and you're looking at the scriptures where he's telling us we are the temple of God and all that. So we're going to look at that this morning.
Amen.
Because I was just excited.
Amen.
So if I run off, y'all just bear with me. Let's go. We're going to come back to this, but let's go to Psalms 11, verse 4. And we want to go back and see, and here we're going to see how David spoke of the temple of God. Psalms 11, verse 4, and then 27:4. We're going to go over there and look at that. So 11:4 and 27:4. And I am going to get to there. Y'all excuse me. I'm Psalms 11, verse 4. Okay. And it says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. So it tells us where God is.
Mm-hmm.
David is saying that, look, this Old Testament he's talking about. And he said, the Lord is in his temple.
Mm-hmm.
if you want to know where God is, he's in his temple.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. And then he says he's there and he's looking upon man. And when he says his eyelids is looking up, what he's saying is God is there looking at us, judging us. I don't know if y'all ever heard the old people say, he sits high and he looks low.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Y'all heard what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
So David, this is basically what David's saying. David is saying, God sits high. He is in his holy temple. He's sitting on his throne, but he always have an eye on his people.
Amen.
He always has an eye on the earth, looking down at the earth and seeing what's going on in the earth realm.
Amen.
So if you know you're around, you're thinking God don't see you, God sees you.
Amen.
God sees us. He knows what we're doing every single day.
Amen.
I mean, he's not so concerned with one person that he doesn't know what's going on with me.
Amen.
He's not so concerned with the murderer over there that he don't know what's going on with the good people.
Amen.
He knows what's going on with everybody. He knows everything. He knows every situation that we're in. And the confidence that David had, that no matter what he's going through, God is there looking at it.
Amen.
You trying to kill me? God see you.
Amen.
He's going to take care of me in that process.
Amen.
Amen. Go to 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. There will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yeah, I will sing praises to the Lord. Look at David. David said, look, I have something to shout about.
Amen.
He says, I will. He said, the one thing I desire is to what? Is to dwell with the Lord.
Amen.
That's the one thing that we as Christian men and women of God, is that our desire is to dwell with the Lord.
Amen.
Well, we're looking forward to what? That great coming day.
Amen.
We're looking for that to take place, that we know that he told us, he said, I have prepared a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're looking for in that great getting up day is to be able to get to the place that he has prepared for us. That we can see those who have gone on before us. Amen. Those Amen. In our family are born again. We're going to see them again.
Amen.
My grandmother, I told y'all on her dying bed, she wanted to know who all have been baptized.
Mm-hmm.
That was their way of saying who all has been saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll ask people today, we say, well, have they been saved? But to them, have they been baptized?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they, you know, how they use, you know, from year to year or for over a period of years or generations, words change, but they mean the same.
Yes.
Like I was talking to one of my friends, she's a minister. And we was laughing about the things that people would say back then. They didn't know the scripture, but they could get to something that would remind them of the scripture. And I told her, I used to hear my grandmama say, every tub got to sit on his own bottom. And she said, mama said that too. I said, we was like wondering, what is grandmama talking about? Every tub. She said, somebody do something. She said, well, every tub got to sit on his own bottom. So what she meant was, you're going to reap what you sow. And so I was like, oh, okay. But they didn't know the scripture. But what she was saying was, in a way, she know, and I know, I'm like, that ain't in the Bible. But baby, every tub got to sit on his own bottom. And she was telling somebody, my brother had been doing, you know, every tub got to sit on his own bottom. And so she and I was talking about, she said, yeah, mama said that too. And we would go back, she said, but you know it refers to that scripture. I said, yeah, I thought about that. She says, refers to that scripture, you will reap what you sow. Amen. So here David said, my one thing have I desired of the Lord. He said that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He said, this is my just cause, my just purpose. It wasn't just for him to be king. His thing is, I want to be seated with God all the days of my life. And then Jesus comes on the scene. So here in the Old Testament, we're going to see that talking about it. Then Jesus come on the scene talking about the temple,
mm-hmm.
telling us he is the temple,
mm-hmm.
telling us how we are the temple of God and how we should treat ourselves.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
As being a part of him, as being connected to him. And so we see David comes along and said, that's where I want to be, is with him.
Amen.
So anywhere God is, that's where we want to be. Even in today's world, anywhere God is, that's where we want to be.
Amen.
I mean, that's where I want to be. I pray that's where you want to be. David said, that's where I want to be. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Chapter 2, and start at verse 18. Let's see. Back of chapter 2. Let me see. Start at verse 18. Okay. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. So what Rebecca come on the scene, telling us where God dwell and who God is. And then he says who he's not. You are worshiping something that can't do anything. In other words, you tell that graven image to get up. You tell that stone to wake up. It can't do it. It has no power at all. He said, but where is God? Who? In other words, you know, you start looking at people, who got your back? Y'all ever get to fight when you were little kids? Y'all, it was so many of us. Now, we was cousins. But we were like the Hatfields and the McCoys. We would divide and conquer. We would play all day. We would play all day, and then you just had a set of cousins. We would divide and conquer. We done played all day. And then, like, the kids my grandmama kept and her brother's grandkids. So it was her grandkids and her brother's grandkids. We would play the day all day, and it was like they would always start something. As soon as they did, oh, that grandma kids, we standing over there. Come on, come on, grandma, yeah. Come out. If y'all kids don't quit fighting, and y'all would make it so bad, it would be 15 or 20 of us out there on the field. I mean, scrapping, bam, bam. I mean, y'all, we wasn't playing fight. We were fighting. By the time we got through, we looked like, well, we dusted all dirty. Yeah. And then go back to playing again, play the next day. You can't be hitting my cousin, all us cousins. Yeah. You can't be pushing on my cousin. Grandma would come out that door, y'all kids, don't stop. But I like, you know, when you look at this, it says, and Habakkuk says, what profit do you have from a graven image? What profit do the maker have from a graven image? He said, what the graven image, the molding image, what they do? They teach lies. Mm-hmm. Because ain't no power with them, they just lies. What you said, Vicky?
Lies, all lies.
And so he says, they can't teach you the word of God. Can't teach us the word of God. Because they have no power. They can't even talk. They can't even speak. They can do nothing. Just the very thought that it was created is a lie. Because it says, Rem, you creating and call that a God? That's a lie. He's not God.
Amen.
He said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. That's what the Lord is. He's in his holy temple. He's in his dwelling place. Now, we read earlier in Revelations where he was and what it looked like. Amen. Mm-hmm. So here Habakkuk says, God dwells in a temple. Amen. So we're getting from the Old Testament, and we're going to get over to the New Testament, how God is the temple of God and how important it is. Now, today is just going to be part one because this temple is awesome. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm just kind of scratching the surface today. Amen. So he says, David speaks of the temple and that how he wants to be there. Amen. Because he can see. Just look at what he can see. Because he knows if the earthly temple, what the earthly temple looked like, you can imagine what the heavenly temple looked like. Mm-hmm. Then he has king sitting on the throne and the authority that he has. Mm-hmm. And then God sitting on the throne and the authority that God has. God has the authority of the whole world. Mm-hmm. David said, I just have the authority of a kingdom. Mm-hmm. Of an earthly kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's not the whole world.
Amen.
Just within my reach. Amen.
Amen.
So you can imagine. So David said, wow, I can imagine being there in God's presence. Because if my voice carry command, you can imagine what God will do.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
God's voice carry command, then you have to think to yourself, what my voice would do? Why? Because he said we can use his words. And then his words carry that authority. Yeah. So when we use the word of God And we speak God's word. That's God's authority.
Yes.
That's why Satan don't want us to know the word of God.
Because
when you get the word of God on the inside of you, well, that is power.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And he told us that in John. Mm-hmm. You get the word in you, mm-hmm. me and you, the word in you, you'll stick a dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not anything anybody can do with us.
Yes.
They can't take anything away from us. Mm-hmm. God can't do anything but bless us.
Amen.
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 So he says, David said, you can get that picture in your mind. That's why God gave us, you know, we talked about imagination. We have to be able to see what God is saying to us.
Yes.
Because if we can see it, we can walk in it.
Yes.
We can have it.
Yes.
So we have to be able to see, not just hear what the word of God says, but we got to be able to see it. It has to become real to us.
Amen.
In other words, the word of God, when we hear it, it's got to become real to us. Has to become real to us because this is our authority.
Yes.
This is the word of God. It's my authority to speak into my life, to speak into other lives, to speak into situations I don't like and to change it.
Amen.
And to make them better.
Amen.
I don't like this situation. Well, what does the word of God say about that?
Amen.
How can I change that situation?
Amen.
And when you start speaking that, the word of God and praying about that, that situation gonna change.
Amen.
I tell folks, now I ain't worried about it. I'm gonna pray.
Amen.
Y'all over the weekend, y'all, I have my family. I said, y'all know I got some prayer ladies. Y'all want me to put it on the altar? And they laugh and tell me what? I said, oh yeah, I can hook up with some good prayer warriors. And I said, I hope I have my prayer ladies a long time. Get 70 years old, I'm gonna be called y'all. Y'all, we got our prayer. Ain't like, we praying?
Amen.
And so sometimes they get tickled. Auntie, could call your prayer ladies. Terrell, he tickled me. I said, he know y'all be praying. He said, Auntie, what? He said, well, I got to take this test. Call them prayer ladies and have them to pray. I'm trying to get out of school. I said, okay, I'll call them. And I tell him, I said, we've been praying. He said, oh, tell them thank you. He said, so thank y'all for praying for him. He said, I'm trying to get out of school.
Amen.
But it's amazing that when they hear you talk, and say, well, we're going to pray about this and we're going to pray about that. That as your family members, they see things changing in your life.
Yes.
And they're going to come to you and say, will you pray?
Amen.
Now understand, that's a privilege.
Amen.
That's an honor because they're not going to every family member and saying, will you pray?
Amen.
But when they come to you, God is saying, that's an honor. That's a privilege.
Yes.
To come and they see God moving in your life. So sure, it's an honor and a privilege.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Because to see God move in our lives and to understand, to get a hold to the word of God and to activate the word of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
They see it. Satan see it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's going on. He wants us to stop. If he can stop us, he will stop us.
Uh-huh.
And I thought about something this morning too. You know, when you're just praying, it has nothing to do with the lesson. But I'm just in the mirror. I'm getting ready and I'm praying. And I'm just praying and the Holy Spirit says, you know, man reproduces after his own kind. He said, so with this spirit of homosexuality going on in the earth, Satan doesn't want man to be reproduced. He said, because the more of God's people being reproduced, that's more enemies he got against him. So if he could stop the reproduction of man, you ain't got all those speaking spirits in the earth. I said, okay. Now that's amazing, isn't it? That's what he said.
That's
the tactic of Satan. That's the tactic of Satan. He said, because God has already spoke. You go forth and you multiply and you replenish the earth.
Yes.
That was the commandment that he gave.
Yes.
So Satan said, no, you won't be going forth and you won't be multiplying. You won't be replenishing earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then he reminded me of the scripture. God will always have a man in the earth.
Amen.
To speak. He said, so, oh, I'm going to always. And then he come back and said what he's going to always have. So in other words, he's saying, while, yes, we have to do our part in ministering to people and sharing the word of God with people and breaking these curses off of people with the word of God. Sure, we have to do that. But God was letting me know, but I'm always going to have somebody I can talk to.
Amen.
He always kept up with a remnant, did he not?
Amen.
From the old to the new, he made sure it was going to be somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying in singular, but we know it was more than people, but it was more than one person. He was going to always have a remnant.
Yes.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
So that's God. God was like, Satan can't catch him unaware.
Yes.
Amen. That was my little side nugget.
Amen.
Now, So Habakkuk talks about God's dwelling place. Let's go to John chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I'm all excited, so I'm go too fast here. But like I said, this is just the what he was just showing me. John chapter 2. Okay, I'm getting there. John chapter 2, start at verse 13. Now, we have read where David spoke of the temple of God. We've read where Habakkuk talks about dwelling in the temple of God. And David also talking about dwelling in the temple of God. Now we're going to look at John, and he's talking about cleansing of the temple. Amen?
Amen.
So dwelling of the temple, dwelling in the temple, cleaning, cleansing of the temple. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of the house of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So now we look at the taking from the natural temple to the spiritual temple. Okay? So he was saying the natural temple was just as important as the spiritual temple. It was just as important because they needed to understand if you respect and honor that natural temple, then you're going to respect and honor the temple of God, the spiritual temple. But you have to be able to understand now when we go from the, when we look at the Old Testament, New Testament, it was always a shadow of what was to come. And so if they could understand what was to come, he said, then that's part of you being, getting your strength. That's part of you being able to be an overcomer.
Yeah.
But you have to understand the shadow or the figure of things so that when it actually came to pass, you would honor it, you respect it, you would know its importance, and you would know that this is a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. So even though he talked of this natural temple and he tells them, and they didn't respect it. No, they did not respect the house of God. And you have people now that don't respect the house of God. The house of God is different and supposed to be different from the world. From any other house, any other temple, any other synagogue or whatever they have built. The house of God is to be different. Because the house of God, if it is what it's supposed to be, then the spirit of God is going to dwell therein. Amen.
Amen.
So it ought to be some stuff happening in the house of God.
Amen.
But not no selling of the doves.
Amen.
So he was saying, and you know, a dove, they messy, they nasty, and you have them up in the temple. No respect. He said, wait a minute. This is the house of God, and it's like you'd have made it a little marketplace.
Yeah.
So he wanted them to understand this is not what you are supposed to do. This is not your, the main thing you do in the house of God. But they didn't respect it. They didn't honor it. And then the thing is, you have to ask yourself, where were the priests to allow the house of God to be treated in this manner? They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Because if they were doing what they were supposed to do, then these people wouldn't have been up in there doing what they were doing in the house of God. And he knew that. So who was off? The people was off? And the priests, those who were supposed to be the overseers. And so when you look at today, it's like that today sometimes. Some of the overseers are doing everything. You look at the men. I was talking to a friend of mine. How in the world? I'm trying to figure. I'm like, Lord, what is wrong with people today? How in the world can you sit under a pastor that's married, have kids with his wife, but other children in the church, and then all the church members know that these other kids belong to the pastor, and then you still coming to the church? Mm-hmm. Something wrong with that picture. Mm-hmm. What do you think that crazy spirit that's on him, what you think gonna happen to you? Mm-hmm. That crazy stuff that he up in there doing, what you think gonna happen to your family?
Yeah.
That adulterous spirit, you coming up in here listening, you taking that mess home.
Yes.
And whatever else that's going on, you taking it home. And you sitting up in there, well, we just gotta pray and we gotta forgive. Yeah, we have to pray and we have to forgive, but you need to be fleeing from up under that because something wrong with that picture.
Yes. Amen.
Another thing wrong with the picture is when a pastor do stuff like that and they don't sit themselves aside. Nobody should have to tell you to sit yourself aside and straighten your life out before you come back up in here preaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the members won't even say. Mm-hmm. One guy said himself, he said, I'm going to set myself aside for 6 months. He didn't. It was like maybe a month. He couldn't even stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So how y'all let him come back? So I'm like, come on, folks. And then you wonder, I don't know what's going on in the church. It's like this going on in the church. The people in strife and this going. You allow things in the temple of God, the natural temple of God, to come in there. And then you want to know what's going on up in the house of God when you just simply open up the doors and allow this mess to come in. That's not right.
Amen.
And then sit there and wonder, I don't know, all this happening, all that happening, it's not good. I don't know what's going on. We should be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yes.
That's what you should be seeing in the house of God, taking place in the house of God.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But if something wrong, my thing is flee.
Mm-hmm.
Run. Get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep sitting there. But you know why it's easy to sit there? Because if you're not hearing the word of God, when you go up in those houses, it's easy to sit there. It's easy to just show up out of out of habit, basically.
Yeah.
You just show up out of habit. So you can say, I went to church Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. And so here these people was, the priests had to allow this for the people to come in and to just take over the house of God. You have, and I'm just using examples, but you have people, it's a church that closed down today because of some family members. Like years ago, their family members, they started the church, is my understanding. Generations ago, they done built the church, and then some of the family members want to run. You got a pastor, but you almost going to tell them what to preach. You almost going to tell them who going to do what. Now, so-and-so, they ain't coming up in here singing. I know some, they ain't doing that. You know, you're going to run the church, and God didn't tell you to.
Wow.
Okay, your family members may have started that church, but that don't mean you run the church.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you sitting on the pews and you run the church. And lock the church. Lock the pastor out the church. Change the locks on the church and just lock them out. Because they didn't like what he did or what he said. Well, Sister So-and-so locked that church up. She got the key. Deacons, you got deacons scared of you. The mother scared of you. Pastor scared of you. And you sitting up in the church. You the big dog. You have to give an account for that. So what do you think that's not no zeal for God. You just wrong.
Yes. Amen.
You just absolutely wrong. So these are the things that's happening in the midst of us that we have to pray about for other people for allowing the temple of God to be put to this point. That's not where the temple of God is supposed to be. So there has to be a cleansing. And so he was coming. This is a prime example for us to understand how to respect the house of God. Amen. He says, and then he comes over to the natural. He says, well, to the spiritual world. He says, to the spiritual realm. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. They still didn't understand. Well, how he going to tear this temple up and raise it up? It took us 46 years to build this temple. 46. And he going to do it in 3 days? What kind of manpower is that going to be? How is he going to accomplish that? Amen.
Amen.
But when God speaks, if he wanted to accomplish, if he actually wanted to tear that physical building down and build it back up in 3 days, oh, he could have.
Amen.
It wouldn't have been a problem at all. He said, but he was talking about his body. Mm-hmm. He was talking about his body. He said, if I take this temple and allow you to destroy this temple, because he had to allow them to destroy this temple. Mm-hmm. He said, but in 3 days, it's going to get up. So he's saying to us, you take that temple, take out of all that mess that don't belong in the temple, in our bodies. He said, and get rid of that and allow me to come in and to make change in your life. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's what we're saying. Gloria Coleman said, she told the Lord, she said, take my life and do something with it. She said, I was tired of being poor and broke. She said, I know it had to be something better than this.
Amen.
She said, but take my life and do something with it. So when we allow God to come into this temple and to take out all that stuff that is not of him, and then we allow him to come in and dwell in us, keeping our temple clean. Amen. Because understand this, he's not going to keep our temple clean for us. That's up to us because he's given us free will.
Amen.
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 So he's saying, but if you let me come in, I'll speak, I'll talk to you, I'm going to help you. Keep your temple to where it's supposed to be.
Amen.
And not let stuff come out of the temple's mouth that's not supposed to come out of the temple's mouth. Amen?
Amen.
Because I tell you, I told y'all when I was a little kid, I could cuss like a sailor. And I got it from my aunt because I thought it was a form of art. That's I actually did. Because that woman could roll. I was like, I ain't never heard words like that. And would get a whipping all the time. But I was still, Maxine said, when you gonna stop? Ain't you just tired of getting whippings?
Yeah.
You know you gonna get a whip. But I just thought when my mom and daddy was out of my eyesight and out of earsight, boy, I was rolled. Man, my brother and sister just look at me. Now, I don't know out of all the kids why I was the one to pick up what she was doing, because all of us was around her, but for some reason, I was the one that picked up that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Satan knew I had a calling on my life.
Yes.
He knew that. And so what he tried to do is destroy us before you even get to what God wants you to do. If it's any way that he can destroy your spirit, man, destroy what God has put on the inside of you. All of us are different.
Yes.
I've always been a little talker. Maxine always been quiet. And so I'm standing there and I'm just going off. I try to, couldn't beat up nobody. But I told Maxine, I'll fight him for you. Get him. Maxine, stop, girl. I was ready to go. I'm going to protect my big sister.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing I couldn't beat up them big folks older than me. But I was ready to help her fight, though, you know. Just out. But it was our personalities. God knew that he could take our personalities and use them for his benefit.
Yeah.
Because every temple is not the same as far as personality and stuff like that.
Yes.
But every temple is the same when it comes down to being in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that same commonality.
Yes.
God in us.
Yes.
And us in God. Amen? So he says, if I take this temple and allow it to be destroyed. And what he was allowing to be destroyed is all of that filth that they had brought into the natural temple.
Mm-hmm.
To be destroyed spiritually. He says, I'm going to change it. I want to change the church. I want to bring the temple in and change the church. Make it the place and the dwelling place it is supposed to be. And so when we look at the scriptures, we find that when he did get up and he came back and he showed himself to the disciples and to others. And then he tells them to go out and to preach the gospel. And then the churches began to come up and began to be what churches were supposed to be. He said, now this is how a temple of God is supposed to be, with the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling therein.
Mm-hmm.
Healing going on. Change of lives going on. Folks excited about what God is doing. And did y'all read about the Azusa? The Azusa celebration? They were out in California last week. And they were celebrating Azusa. And so Daniel, Vivian's son, is not too far from where they were celebrating Azusa. And he said folks was 10 blocks out or more trying to get into the arena where they were holding the Azusa, trying to get there. He said, Mama, they were so far. He said, they could barely get to the church. He's at, I can't think of the name of the church out there right now. But he said, we couldn't even get close to the church. He said, we were trying to get in, he said, and everybody was all over, folks just all over the places for miles and miles. And somebody had posted some pictures. So if you go to like Azusa, research Azusa, and then you can see some of the pictures and stuff that they posted. And I was like, oh my God. And they finally give William Seymour the the acknowledgement that they should get, that God actually started Azusa with a black man.
Yeah.
That's awesome, isn't
Amen.
It? So God was, I mean, how God just do things. You know, we wonder sometimes why he do, how he do. But when we read and pray, he'll show us, he'll teach us. Amen. Yes. And so they were celebrating Azusa. So you know, and some of the prophets were saying God is getting ready to do something. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, we know that. God has been speaking to us, right? Mm-hmm. So now, think if we were not in a place to hear from God. Mm-hmm. If our temples were not prepared to hear from God, we wouldn't even know what the prophetic word is for the day.
Yes.
We would have no idea. We could hear other people tell us, but we wouldn't know for ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
So the only thing we hear other people saying is the confirmation to what God has been speaking.
Yes.
Now, wouldn't you want to keep your temple in that position so that God can speak to you? And when somebody says something, oh, that's just confirmation. Because my father been talking to me all the time.
Amen.
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 That's where I want to keep my temple. Just like this morning, I'm just praying. And then the Holy Spirit just started speaking. Had nothing to do with what I was praying about. I was just praying.
Yes.
Amen. And he just took that moment in time to just drop that into my spirit. Now, that's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Just to drop it in my spirit and just tell me that. That's what he'll do when he wants to talk to us.
Yes.
He'll just start talking.
Yes.
And that's wonderful.
Because
I don't know what all he's going to start talking to me about, but whatever it is, I want to hear it.
Amen.
I tell folks, oh, I love hearing God speak to me. I said, because it's amazing that you just walking and all of a sudden God said, well, do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, do this and take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
We were you remember when we used to go down to Pastor Creflo's a lot?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we come back. Me and Maxine, we standing in line. A lady in front of us, she had some kids and stuff. And you know, she was weeding stuff out of her basket.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, well, dude, ring this up. Okay, well, sit this back. Well, y'all can't get this and y'all can't get that. So she put all the little stuff, weeding. Now, she hadn't finished weeding. I said, just leave it in the basket. She said, what? I said, just leave it in the basket. I said, I'll take care of it. So Maxine said, you got this? I said, yeah. She told me, you don't know how much this. But I was so pumped up from the word of God. Amen. Y'all get what I'm saying? So pumped up from the word of God. I said, I'll get it. Whatever's over, I get it. And she says, okay. I said, so just keep it in there. And so went on, done that. She said, ooh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. I said, well, you know, just be blessed. God wants you blessed. God wants to bless you. Yeah, God wants to bless you. She said, okay, thank you. Now, for me to say God wants to bless you, what do you think she did when she went home? She had to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in there. God just wanted to bless me.
Yes.
That's something. God, I can't believe it. I never experienced that before.
Yes.
See, that's what God wants us to do. That's how we are different from the world's people. From the world's people. We're not just saying, and there's no motive. I don't want anything from you. I didn't know the woman and women didn't never saw again in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an opportunity to say, this is what God want to do for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Temples, being temples of God. So he can speak to us in that manner so that we are a blessing to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he tell me, well, bless so-and-so. I just get right on up and I go do it.
Yeah.
I have to call. I said, you at home? So, yeah. I said, I just need to run by there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Go on and do what I got to do and go on.
Yes.
But that's when God is speaking to you to do those things. Amen?
Amen.
But we got to be temple. We can't be like this, have stuff all up in the temple and not listening to God.
Amen?
Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I flipped all the way over to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, I forgot to give y'all the subject thing this morning.
All
right. I'm sorry about that. God's Temple. That's the name of God's Temple. I'm sorry. Title of the sermon today is God's Temple. What I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, start at verse 16. Let's see. Yeah, start at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Amen? So he says, know ye not. Now here's Paul writing to these Christians, and he's explaining to them, just like I said earlier over in John, when Jesus was talking about the temple, and he referred to himself as the temple. So he's saying, if we're in Christ Jesus, then we are the temple. So Paul comes along and he confirms that, hey, look, no, don't you know you are the temple of God? You are, look, we are, we look temples.
Yes.
Walking around here on earth, he said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because the S is capitalized, the Holy Spirit of God dwelleth in you.
Amen.
He says, don't you know this? This is something you should know. And this is why you should respect the temple of God. And you should honor the temple of God. And he says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, we just got through reading in the natural realm how he came in, turning over the money changers, tables, telling them to get the doves and all the stuff they were in there selling. You turn the house of God into a marketplace. And so he's saying, I will not have a filthy temple. God cannot dwell in an unclean temple. He can't do it. He won't do it. He will not do it. And folks want to know, well, God don't speak to me like that. God doesn't talk to me like that. You said God will speak. He will speak. But your temple have to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
He'll talk to you, but you need to have a clean temple.
Amen.
You can't do in and everything. Amen?
Yes, amen?
So I can't come in here drunk every Sunday trying to preach to y'all. And then she looked, Pastor Walk looked like she a little tipsy this morning. Y'all need to run. Flee.
Yeah.
He says, but God will take that temple. He will take that temple. He will not allow that temple to be like it is. Now, you know, we all know that we can do things to our bodies that we're not supposed to do, and it will destroy this temple because it's made of flesh.
Yes.
It's made of flesh, so, you know, that's what it'll do. It'll destroy itself because of the way it was built. It wasn't built for us to put in and everything in it. Do everything with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? He said, but he can't dwell in a defiled temple. God says, I can't do it. Light can't dwell with darkness. Good can't dwell with evil.
Mm-hmm.
Can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
He says, so it's a holy place. Our temple is a holy place. And sometimes I don't think we understand that our body is a holy place.
Yes.
You know? We don't treat it like it being a holy place. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 19. Same, first Corinthians. Stay in 1 Corinthians, but go to 6, 19. 5. Same thing. He repeats himself. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said, you don't even own yourself. We don't even own ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? When Jesus said, I will leave you another comforter, your temple is where the Holy Ghost has to dwell. He said, so don't you know your temple? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, given of God. You are not your own.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Go, oh my God. When I read that, I said, oh my God. We're not our own. We belong to God. We are God's children. And he owns us. He said, you are not your own. And then he said, you are bought with a price. This is how you know why you are no longer your own. You are bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
He paid for you.
Thank you, Lord.
For you to have the honor to be in God's presence. To have the honor to allow the Holy Ghost to dwell on the inside of you.
Yes.
You don't even belong to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he said you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And your body and your spirit belongs to God. When we leave here, where does our spirit go? It goes to God. And in that day of getting up, where your body going? Your body and spirit man is going to meet. And where are you going to be? You're going to be with God.
Amen.
He's going to, that body got to get up out of the grave, but your spirit man going to go on. Mm-hmm. When you leave here, your spirit man is going to go on to be with the Lord.
Yes.
But your body will come up out of that grave during the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's going to come up and your spirit man going to meet back with that body.
Yes.
You're going to be in glory with God.
Yes.
He said, but your spirit doesn't belong to you and your body does not belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute God requires your spirit of you, it's gone. It's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell God, I'm not going. No, I'm not going. But when God requires our spirit, then what he called it forth is gone. It's going. I remember one of my brothers, he was had gotten into a little trouble and everything and went to prison. And I'm praying and praying. He said, y'all pray. He didn't want to go. But he had done wrong. He did. He said, I don't know. I'm praying and praying and praying. And all of us praying and him and one of my other brothers, they fasting and praying. Which I didn't fast and pray. But I just prayed. And when I was praying, the Lord, I heard him say, he said, stop. He said, you stop praying right now. He's because he's going to prison. He is going to prison. He's because I've not created anything I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't listen to God. He wouldn't listen. I mean, we talked and talked. He stopped listening to God. He said, I've not created anything I can't control. He says, don't you pray another day for him. He said, you stop it. And I stopped. So what did it told me several things. One is I could have kept on praying and God would have to answer me.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he taught me the importance of praying for what is right.
Yes.
He taught me you pray for what is right. You know it's wrong and then you want me to get him out of this wrong, but you know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you want me to deliver him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but you praying for him. And another thing he taught me, you praying for him and he still is not changing his life. But you praying, you laboring. And then he has no regard for me at all. No regard and no respect for me at all. But you're praying as though he does. But he doesn't. He says, so you stop praying. He is going to go because I've not created anything I can control. So when he gets there, all the letters he was writing was scripture. Now you didn't think about God when you went behind the bar. But every letter, I mean, just filled with scripture and he would write them. But God showed me every letter that he wrote. He still had not repented and come before God. He was writing what he thought people wanted to hear. And so he would write and I would write it back. I said, you really? And you know, they read your letters. I said, you really got to get real with God. And he'd write, I'd read. I said, you really need to get real with God. Well, just stop writing me. Don't write me anymore. He said, because you just being real negative. So I wrote it one last time. I said, you still need to get real with God. Don't play with God. I said, you can write all you want to write. And you can say all the correct words you think we want to hear. But until you get real with God, then you the one need to stop writing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because you the one not real. I said, God knows you're not real.
Yes.
He's not. I said, he knows you're not real. That you need to get real with him.
Yes.
And so finally, I guess he got real because he got out early.
Mm-hmm.
He got out early. He come home. And he still didn't do right. And so when he got sick and everything, he wanted us to pray. He had congestive heart failure. He wanted us to pray, and we prayed, and we prayed. And he said, I can't understand why God won't heal me. I don't understand why God won't heal me. But the thing is, as we started sitting down talking, I asked him the questions. I said, you remember? I said, I'm not trying to be negative. I said, but it's what you have spoken for years. I said, you said God don't heal today. That was with the disciples. I said, so you have spoken. I said, I heard you speak when I was a kid coming up. I said, I was in junior high. I said, so I've heard you speak. And then all of a sudden, the God that you said that don't heal, and you have been speaking that over yourself and just speaking it out loud for years. And now you want God to heal you today. And you didn't even talk people that God don't heal today. So I said, so now you want him to heal you? I said, if you don't understand the healing process, I said, I'm sitting down here trying to run this, trying to go over these healing scriptures with him. I said, but you have to change it here. And he couldn't get it. And I'm sitting down, I'm praying with Tom. Holy Spirit said, he can't get it. And then finally we just prayed for him, but he was never in the background. Of course, I'm not seeing what you're doing, but if you never changed your life, and finally I'm praying for him, he gets out and I'm praying, and the Lord says, he says, before I allow Satan to take him, I'll bring him home. He says, because I've not lost one that God has given me. He says, so I will not let him get to the point where he have that reprobate mind. That's the scripture he took me back to, the reprobate mind. And I had to read it so I could understand. It's a reprobate mind. And I'm reading. And when I got that understanding was that he wasn't living the way he was supposed to live for God. But before God would allow him to totally turn, he brought him home. And so after he had passed and everything, I shared with family afterwards, you know, because I knew what was coming. And everybody was praying. I stopped praying for God to heal him. I stopped praying for God to deliver him, because he'd already told me he's getting ready to bring him home, and the reason why. So I couldn't pray against what he just told me he was getting ready to do. So what I'm saying is, in that I learned the importance of the power that God has put in our temple. How important it is to hear him. How important it is to respect this temple. Because he don't want us to take this temple and do in and everything. Because even if we never open our mouths, what we do with this temple speaks. It speaks. Folks see you doing everything with this temple. Whether you say anything, you have just left a message. You just left a message. With the temple of God, without even opening your mouth. And you're telling folks, I'm a child of God. I love God. And then the temple go out and cuss somebody out. You just cussed out a person, another person, and looking at you taking this same temple that the Holy Ghost says is his, that God says is his. And then the folks over there looking at you doing that, and they're saying, this coming out of the temple of God? And what do people say now when they see how church folks act? They'll tell you they done seen all these church folks going around with the temple of God and supposed to have the Holy Ghost in them. And then they say, I don't want to be like the church folks. Because what's going on in the world is happening in the church. I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that. Why should I go? We just the light. Why should I go? But God is saying we are supposed to be different. We don't even belong to ourselves. We belong to God. I don't want y'all to feel like I'm beating y'all up this morning. Y'all getting it? But I want us to know how awesome it is to be a man or woman of God and to have the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
And the fact that we were bought with a price. With a price. The temple of God. The one that we just read, that when we leave here, we're going to dwell in. That when we get to heaven, that heaven is the temple of God. We in the temple. Y'all getting this? That when we go to heaven, we think we walking around just in heaven. We walking around in God.
Amen.
We walking around in the Holy Ghost, in the Lamb. That's what the scripture read, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Amen.
So he says you need to understand and respect and honor the temple that you have now, that's dwelling now, because you speak. Whether your mouth speaks, you speak. Your temple speaks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How you carry yourself, your temple speaks. Mm-hmm. When folks get used to you, they'll know somebody can come and say, well, so-and-so said that. They said, no, she didn't say that. Because that's not even her nature. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. Who? Oh, now, if you said, what's McCullough did, I know they did it. But I don't think, you know, you have some folks like that. Oh, what's McCullough? Oh, now, I believe they did it. But now I don't believe it. I've never seen her say that or never heard her do it. I don't say, I think you got the wrong person. I think you have the wrong person. Y'all, when I was getting my security clearance years ago, I was getting my security clearance. The guy that was come out to do the investigation, it took him about 6 months. And so they finally asked him, why is it taking you so long? It's got to be somebody to say something bad about it. Just ain't nobody. Nobody is like that. He said, I've been interviewing people. of people. I can't find not one person that said anything bad about her. They said, well, what, do you know something bad about her? Well, no, she's a real nice person. And so and so. I don't know how many people he interviewed, but he was out there investigating for 6 months. And they was like, are you finding a problem? He said, well, no, that's the problem. I'm not finding a problem. And that was the problem for him. And he didn't want to turn her loose. He said, it's got to be somebody. He said, nobody is that clean. Nobody can't. It just can't be. He said, I've not found one person to say anything bad about him. He said, usually when you interview people, you'll find somebody that's going to say something. They don't like you. They're going to say something or whatever. He said, but I haven't found anybody. And some folks come up and say, which they worked on Redstone, so they knew what. They said, well, did you get your clearance yet? I said, well, not yet. And finally, my manager comes. She said, well, what's going on with your clearance? She said, is there anything out there? I said, no, not that I know of, you know. And so that was his problem. 6 months. He said, it can't be. It's got to be somebody to say something bad, you know.
Wow.
Our temple is supposed to speak.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And I want you to really grasp the power, the anointing, the presence of God on the inside of you, operating on the inside of you. That when you step in a room, you command the room.
Yeah.
Amen? You command the room. And just think, when we sitting up here praying, our prayer ladies, we pray in our group. Look how many temples it is. And then look how much the Holy Ghost show up.
Amen.
I mean, you know, I know the Holy Ghost in the split, but I'm saying when we show up, each one of us brings the presence of God with us.
Yes.
Each time we show up, the presence of God, he's just saying what the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us.
Yes.
He dwells in us. We were paid with a price. Our body is not our own. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. So we are allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in us as men and women of God. That's where the Holy Spirit is. So every time we show up into a situation, I say again, it is supposed to change. It is not supposed to stay the same.
Amen. Amen.
Because you are different.
Yes.
You show up with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You walk into a room, somebody sick, you just showed up with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They can't speak for themselves. You can lay hands on them. You showed up with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Because he on the inside of you.
Amen.
We driving down the highway, Holy Ghost sitting right up in the car with you.
Amen.
Flying on the airplane, Holy Ghost right in there with you. Wherever you are,
yes,
he is right there with you. So you didn't show up by yourself. I just thought about it. This just popped into mind. Then when y'all go in there and have to sit before them folks, they can call you into the office, you have to tell them, can you pull up another chair? One for me and one for the Holy Ghost.
My counselor.
I just threw that in there for them. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, that just kind of popped in my mind while we were just sitting there for a minute. Let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Mm-hmm. Idols can't even hold them. Look what he said. This is what God said to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God said. And we are the temple of a living God.
Mm-hmm.
We had just read over there in Habakkuk, they talking about stones and molding images.
Right.
They have no power. And he said, but the power you have and the God you serve is a living God.
Amen.
And then this is what God said himself,
mm-hmm,
to us. I will dwell in them. I'll walk in them.
Mm-hmm.
I will be their God. And they shall be my people. What? That's not even an option.
Amen.
Will and shall,
mm-hmm,
means it's done.
Yes.
And it's definitely done because he said it. So when we become born again men and women of God, we are born again of a living God that speaks to us. I will will, God says, dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. So we have no need of graven images. Somebody carving something on a rock and we bowing down before it. No. We serve a living God. And he said, they shall be my people. Do you know your authority that you have? Do you know your place in the kingdom? Amen.
Amen.
We are truly king's kids.
Amen.
Folks in the natural earth talking about they king's kids. Prince Diana, Prince Harry and them, they kids. What's the old? Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And they talking about they king's kids. No, we are the real king's kids.
Amen.
As they said, Myron said, I'm for real though. I'm for real though. For real though. Uh-huh. We are real, real king's kids. And the authority. Because if God is in us, dwell in us, again, like I said, and walk in us, he's already made that declaration who we are in him. Like I said, we command the room when we go in. We command that room. We change. Have you ever heard you walk into a room and folks say, ooh, look like something changed when you come in? I had a lady, she come to the house, she said, whoo. She said, ooh, I just feel something in here. I just feel something in here. And I know she's getting ready to get started. Oh, what you feel is the Holy Ghost. I'm coming here with this other stuff. I just feel something in here. Because she's like a, what do you call that folks that call themselves spiritual?
No.
You know, a spiritual person.
Yeah.
You know. And so she'd have been into several type of religions. We was thinking, how you get into some Greek Orthodox and you come from Baptist,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So we was trying to figure out all kinds of just spiritual stuff. To her. And so she said, she walked in, she said, ooh, I feel something in here. I feel, ooh, I'm like, yeah, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. It should be like that. Somebody step into your presence, it should be a change just to get into your presence. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we are the temple of God. And think about this. When God said he wants to dwell in us and walk in us, now just think, we have to listen to these words.
Yeah.
He want to dwell in us. He want to walk in us. He want to take us to places that we even have no idea where we could even go. Just think, God on the inside of you, then you should walk with your head up. Not be overtaken with pride, but to be proud about God being in you.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That he walks in you. And that we would never, ever, ever be out of the presence of God. We'll never be out of his presence.
Yes.
Yeah, I see, when I was young, born again, young, I think I was probably about 18 to 19 years old. Didn't have no business up in the club. Up in the club, I'm sitting in there, I'm sitting at the table. All of a sudden, I think I told y'all, God started speaking. And I'm sitting there with my friends, because when I got quiet and I was staring off into the distance, and she said, what God said? I said, I got to get up out of here. So he told me, he said, you get out of here and you get out of here now. But I'm trying to do whatever, trying to hang in there. So, I mean, I knew I was different, but I was struggling being different.
Yeah.
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Because
I didn't understand. I'm in the Baptist church. I wasn't understanding all of this, the importance of all of this, the importance of God being in me and walking in me.
Mm-hmm.
So how could I take this temple, got the temple of God, and taking it up in the club, and I'm sitting up in there, and then I want to say something godly sometime. But who saw me? And who am I going to say, why can you tell me that I just saw you up in the club? Or I just saw you up coming out the whiskey store. I just saw you going up in the porn shop buying some tapes and walking out with a book of tapes or whatever it is. How can we speak? Well, we just take the temple of God any place, put anything on the inside of the temple of God. When God has already told us, I'm in here. Wait a minute. I'm in here. The Holy Ghost, wait, I'm in here. Wait, what are you doing? Wouldn't that be amazing? I need him to start speaking to me about this, all this sweet stuff. I need the Holy Ghost to say, wait, I don't want no cake. Stop. Leave that pie. I'm playing. I'm just saying, wouldn't that be amazing? It would help us, Lord. It would help. Let me speak for myself. It would help me, Lord. I will speak for myself. It would help. But I just love, I'm dwelling on this because I love the idea. And I just love it that when God says, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. Mm-hmm. I love that part. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just, I'm revelating in that. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go back to Revelations 21. Okay, so this is really, we're going back to Revelation 21. This is really just going to cap it off. I mean, we started here, but it gives us more of an idea, more of a, more revelation, I should say. Revelations 21, verse 22. Okay, now we've seen all this about the temple, the cleansing of the temple, how David talked about the temple, how Habakkuk talked about the temple. John, we'd have been in Corinthians, Paul writing to the church. Okay, so now here it is. We're in our last day. We in glory. Amen? Okay. And John is writing the revelation of Jesus. And he says, and I saw no temple therein. He said, I didn't see a temple. Y'all getting this? I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Okay, are we there? Are we get. I'm excited
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
John said, I didn't see a temple.
Yeah.
He said, but I saw the Lord God Almighty and I saw the Lamb and they were the temple.
Amen.
They were the temple. Ooh, glory.
Look at the next verse.
He said, man, and then the city. He said, the city had no need of the sun. He said, the city didn't have any need of the moon. The glory of God lit up the city.
Amen.
He said, I did see a temple.
Uh-huh.
He said, and I did see a temple like that. What we see, what I thought we were going to see, what would be a temple made with stone and rock gods and build some. He said, oh, no, that's not what I saw. I saw the Lord God Almighty. I saw the Lamb and they were the temple. He said, and then the cities didn't even have no light.
Amen.
I didn't see any chandeliers, candelabras.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't see the sun. I didn't see the moon. He said, I saw the glory of God. He said, the glory of God did what? Lit the city.
Amen.
Now the city, not a room.
Yes. Amen.
A city.
Amen.
He said, there was no need for the sun. Mm-hmm. Didn't need the sun. Didn't need the moon. He said, because the glory of God did light it. Mm-hmm. He said, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Mm-hmm. He said, a Lamb lit up that city. The glory of God lit up that city. Mm-hmm. He said, here I am standing in the temple. I'm standing in the Lamb. I'm standing in the awe of the Lord God Almighty. I'm standing up under the light. I'm looking at the glory of the Lamb. And all of that just lit up the city. He said, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Mm-hmm. The nations, all ethnic groups, nations, ethnos. Mm-hmm. He said, they'll all walk in the temple of God. So you imagine when you born, ooh, what are folks doing up there? Walking around in God.
Amen.
He said, what he just told us, he gonna walk around? He said, I'm gonna walk in them. I'm gonna make them, I'm gonna be their God. They gonna be my people. He said, I'm going to be inside that temple. Now he said, when we get the glory, he said, when we get the glory, imagine. So now they tell us the mansions is made of what? Of the Lord God Almighty.
Yes. Yes.
The mansions are made of what? Of the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Our mansions are lit with the light of the Lamb and the glory of God.
Amen.
He said, all nations going to have access to this glory.
Amen.
All nations gonna have access to the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of, he said, who? All of them, all ethnic groups, every born again person shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor it. He said, those that thought they knew, thought. He said, the kings of the earth, people that bow down to them, and they thought their glory, their temples, their palaces was something. He said, oh, wait till they see this.
Amen.
No comparison. None whatsoever. The little bit of glimpses when Solomon built the temple and the folks came and they was in awe. He said, I'm new. Don't even, that didn't even have anything on this temple that God has built. He said, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night. Look, he said, you just go around freely. He says, not even day. What's the song say? Every day is glory. Every day is hallelujah. Or something like that. Every day is getting, I can't think it's a song. Every day is hallelujah and glory, glory, something like that. But he said, the gates are going to open. Going to be open all day. Going to be open. I mean, wait. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Okay? And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. So what is he telling us? So when you read that, it gives us such an awesome understanding of the temple of God. We cannot take these earthly temples and treat them any kind of way. Because he's telling us the temple that he's been telling, we're representative of the final temple, of the temple of God. He says, not going to be anything that defiled that come up in there. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or make a lie. So we already know them little stones, them little carvings, them little molding images. Not going to come in there. Can't come in there. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So you know ain't no idol God written up in no Lamb book of life. It's not. He said, so who's going to come up in there? God's people. Now, if you prejudice down here on the earth, I wonder what's going to happen when you get up there and see all the ethnic groups. Because that's what nations means. That's what nations means. All ethnic groups. So what are you going to do? Make heaven great again. That's what... Yeah, I know I'm just joking. But nations shall be there. We are the temple of God. And the excitement is, wow, that we're going to be walking around. That just really, I was like, oh my God. It just came up out of the pages. Yeah. That in that day, man, we're going to be walking around in God. We're going to be walking around in the Lamb. And he just confirmed what? I'm going to walk in them. Yes. I'm going to be their people.
Amen.
And so then when he comes up on the flip side, we get to go up. We get to walk in him. Because we his people. Amen. Amen. Glory Amen. Be to God. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening up the scriptures to us and for teaching us. And Holy Spirit, whatever you want to teach us, show us, Lord. We are open to all the teachings that are available to us to make us better. So, Father God, we pray right now that if there's anything on the inside of our temples, Father God, in these earthly temples, Holy Spirit, please dispel it from our bodies in the name of Jesus. We just thank you. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for watching over us and for keeping us. But, Lord, we are so, so honored for your divine word. We are so honored to have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. We are so honored that you thought about us, that you created us, that you put all things under our feet, that Father God in heaven, that we need speak the word only and we can change our lives and the lives of others, and we can change situations. That, Father God, no matter how desperate or dire they are, Lord, we can simply speak the word of God. And we can change the atmosphere. We can change the very atmosphere. If we don't like it, we can change it in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I pray that as men and women of God all over this world, that we come into the knowledge and the understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. And that, Father God in heaven, that we carry ourselves in the manner of King's kids. Yes. And we can change this world for the better.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to do so. So, Lord, we pray that you strengthen us, that we be able to change the world from where we are now, that we will start in the city of Huntsville, in the state of Alabama. We will change the atmosphere and what's going on. We will pray for our leaders. We will pray for those who are in leadership over us, trying to make decisions for us, Lord. We lift them up before you, and we declare now, Father God, as speaking spirits, we will allow you to use us. We will be your voice, your hands and your feet, your eyes and your ears, however you choose to use us, Lord. We're saying to you today, Father, we love you, but we let you know in time past that we're willing for you to use us. But Lord, from what you taught us today, we are excited.
Yes.
And we want you, Father God in heaven, to use us.
Yes.
Take our lives and do whatever you want to do with them, Father.
Yes.
We just thank you. We are so grateful and honored to be King's kids. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Again, I'm Pastor Vanessa Walker, and I would like to invite you to visit with us at Provisions for the Redeemed Christian Center, which is also known as Vanessa Walker Ministries. We are located in Huntsville, Alabama, and can be contacted at provisionsfortheredeemed@gmail.com. Until next time, may God bless you and hope to see you soon.